Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. One of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trainer, joined, as always, by my partners. We have Mitch Goldich here and Gary Gramling. Fellas, both coming off losing best bet weeks. I, of course, am not. I keep it rolling with a 2-1 record. Gentlemen, how are you? Mitch, how's it going?
Love a guy who brags about a 2-1 record.
That's always great, Jimmy. Have to brag when you have a winning week.
I'm in no position to. I should accept any taunting I get from you, as I was 0-3. My wonderful season partially comes crumbling down.
Gary, your record?
First of all, I've been better, Jimmy. I was 0-3-1. I don't want to be the guy who complains about bad beats. Everyone has bad beats.
Just do it. Everyone listening to this podcast is the guy who complains about bad beats, so you might as well just do it.
No, I feel like the obviously the Brissett injury sunk a couple of us. That game should have been a Colts cover. The Bucks, if they go for two as they should have, or if Jason Myers kicks a field goal, that one is a win instead of a push for me. And Sunday night, I went from push to loss on the under. Excuse me, Monday night, push to loss on the under, which I kind of blame myself for actually watching the end of the game to make sure that I was going to get the push there on the 48 total.
You had a rough one. Jeez.
That was literally, that was the worst beat of the week for anyone out there, and you were on it.
Yeah, but by that point, it was kind of like, you know what? I bet there's going to be like a scoop and score fumble here to push it.
I always push back on the worst beat thing only because you know, people must have the over in that game. So, like, yes, it's a bad beat if you have the under, but I bet more people benefited from that than got sunk by that.
I always recommend if you're just betting for fun, like, bet the over because then you're in it the whole time. And you don't have to sit there like me praying that Daniel Jones hangs on to the ball for once.
Right.
Can I throw out one mind-blowing stat before we move on?
Please do.
I've been thinking a lot about home field advantage and how I think maybe home field advantage is being overrated these days. Maybe it should, instead of the standard 3 points, maybe we should, you know, it should be 2, 2.5, something like that. Just because fans don't show up to the games because of the awful in-game experience of NFL games. And on top of that, teams are smarter about travel. And I think there's less of a home field advantage these days. So coming into week 8, home teams 44-72-2 against the spread this season. That's just under 38%. Week 9, 12-1.
Wow.
Only home team that didn't cover was the Giants. And that excludes the London game because that is not a home game for the
right.
Jaguars.
I mean, this has been going on all season, not just against the spread, but straight up, too. We're seeing road teams win. I love this. Anyone who follows me on Twitter, I've been picking my super contest picks for 6 years, and every week I pick 4 road teams and 1 home team. I've been on this for years, and this maybe that's why my record
has
been good this year.
That's why we got killed.
And then this was a tough week for us, yeah.
12-1. 12-1 last week
for
home teams.
You guys talked a lot there, so let me just recap it. Gary 0-3-1, Mitch 0-3, Jimmy 2-1.
The whole point of talking a lot was to get as far away from last week's records as possible.
All right, well, let's get into week 10 here in the NFL. Great schedule on the back end. You have Panthers, Packers, 425. Good Sunday night game with the Vikings and Cowboys. Very good Monday night game with
great
the Seahawks and
game.
Niners. 1 o'clock is a little rough. So we'll go through it, and then we'll hit you on the big games in the back end of this. So we get it kicked off with the Lions and Bears. Bears becoming one of the more unwatchable teams in the NFL here. Games in Chicago. Bears are giving 2.5 points to the Lions, coming off a loss in Oakland. One of my best bets last week, the Raiders. So I hit that. Here come the Lions into Chicago. Total 42.5. Mitch, what do you got?
Yeah, the Bears were so bad last week. They made it a game in the second half. But just watching them, and I watched that game really closely as an Eagles fan, the Eagles were just running it right up the gut in the first half. The Bears jumped off sides, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think like 15 to 30 times during that game. They were just penalties. They were sloppy. And they look to me like they're a team that's ready to check out. I know, Jimmy, you love talking about Mitchell Trubisky, Mitch Trubisky, Mitchell. And, I mean, he's just he's in a lot of trouble. At some point, they're going to have to go to Chase Daniel, but who knows if that's going to make them any better.
What a sentence.
I know. I've been fading the Lions all year since their hot start, but you look at that team and you just know that they're destined to go like 7-8-1. So they're going to get some wins somewhere, and I'm going to give them one here. the Bears have lost four games in a row, and some teams, you look at a team and they seem like they're ready to rebound. Other teams look like they're ready to just pack it in, and I just don't think the Bears have it this year. And so I'm gonna take the Lions here +2.5. I think they're gonna win the game outright, so I'm happy to take them and get the points.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this one. I'll just throw out last year when the Bears humiliated the Lions' offensive line. I mean, that was one of the all-time mismatches in both matchups. And if you look at what the Lions have done this year, one reason they've been so good offensively, Matthew Stafford is having an MVP-caliber season on a bad team. And on top of that, the offensive line's been pretty good. Now, is it a matter of they just haven't played a whole lot of great pass rushes this year or... You know, are they actually better? I guess we find out this week. Bears are really missing Akeem Hicks, but is this a game where the Bears pass rush just wrecks it and they overcome having Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback? That said, I wouldn't touch it, I guess, because the line is sneaking under a field goal. I'd lean Bears, but with zero confidence.
I like the Lions a lot in this one because I'm on a firm bet against the Bears every week bandwagon now, because here's the problem. As I've said, Trubisky, no business being a starting quarterback in the NFL, and now the head coach has some issues about whether he should even be in the league. So when the coach and the quarterback are both inept, and you can get 2.5 points, even with the Lions, here, one stat I threw out, this is on our best bets on SI.com, the Lions are averaging 25.5 points a game. They're like in the top 10 in the NFL. The Bears have scored 25 points more just once this entire more than 25.
I was going to say, I can't even remember a game where they scored 20. It must have been that Redskins game where
it's
they got
exactly
the
defensive
touchdowns.
Bingo. It's exactly what it was. So I'm on the Bears there. Moving on, I thought this was the weirdest line of the week. When I did the lines before checking them, I thought the line here would be 14.5. Ravens giving 10. In Cincinnati, no Andy Dalton now, and the Ravens obviously coming off that big win against the Patriots. I thought the line would be more inflated, and it's the Ravens -10, total 44.5, Gary.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a little bit because, one, you get the divisional rivals. The Bengals have seen Lamar Jackson this offense twice. I'm not going to sit here and be the guy who's like, oh, you know, they'll be ready for Lamar Jackson now. Like, no one's really ready for that offense. It's a really, really good offense with a ton of talent on it, unlike last year where it was a little bit more smoke and mirrors. But I think that's why the line is a little bit lower here, excuse me. And I'll lean Ravens here. You got Ryan Finley getting the start. Which is clearly a, whatever. Andy Dalton's no good, but Ryan Finley is probably a little bit worse, and we will most likely find that out on Sunday.
Well, let me give you the most important Andy Dalton stat. Gary, you know he is the only player on the Cincinnati Bengals with a rushing touchdown this season?
Wow, that is a great stat. My mind is blown.
That is a great stat.
He has three of them. Nobody else has one. Now he's headed to the bench. The Ravens, I mean, they were great on Sunday, totally announced themselves as legitimate contenders. A lot of times I'd worry that they're due for a letdown, but the Bengals are just too bad. If they were playing an average team, I'd be worried about some kind of a trap game. Bengals 0-8, rookie quarterback making his first start. You can't run the ball. A.J. Green tried to come back and then made it through half of a practice, and now he's probably going to be out. I just, you know, the Ravens beat the Seahawks and the Patriots by 14 and 17, so they've proven they can get up big on somebody. And, Jimmy, I wrote down the same thing as you, that I was surprised this number isn't 13.5 or 14.
Yeah.
So the line's a little low. It's not the most surprising line of the day. We're going to get to that one soon.
Ooh,
but
I'm excited.
I was a little surprised, too. Ravens -10 is the pick for me.
Good teaser there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you go with the Bengals starting the rookie quarterback, and you're only laying. It seems like a trap game there, but I don't know. Total 44.5. I don't really have a lean on that, but I like the Ravens -10 against the rookie quarterback. The struggling Browns at home. If it's not this week, when will it be? Laying less than a field goal, just giving 2.5 points to the incoming Bills, who are inept on offense. So, like I said, if it's not this week for Cleveland, when will it be? Browns -2.5, total 40.5. Mitch.
This is the one. This is insane to me. The Bills are so much better than the Browns, and the Bills are 2.5-point underdogs. I know that it's a road game for them. I was just I'm stunned by this, that the public keeps backing the Browns, and it's like everyone's just waiting all season for them to get it together. You know, you want to say, okay, the Bills haven't played anybody. That's fine. They're still 6-2. They've proven that they are a competent team, that they can win games. They can win close games. The Browns, you know, and I get it. If you want to say they're going to win eventually, if you want to pick them to win this game, that's fine. Things happen every week. Better teams win. Worse teams win. Upsets happen. All that stuff. But to make a 2-6 team a favorite against a 6-2 team, whatever you want to say about the Bills and the Browns, if you took the names off of these teams and just watched how they've played this season and looked at their results, there's no way that you would make the Browns the favorites in this game. This is one of my best bets of the week for sure. When we get to the end of the podcast, give me Bills +2.5.
See, it's hard for me to get on the Bills because their quarterback is so bad. Gary, where do you go on this one?
I lean Bills, not as strongly as Mitch. I'll just throw out, Bills all of a sudden are having trouble stopping the run, which, I mean, look, if the Browns are going to ram it down their throats a little bit and this one's going to be ugly, I feel like this one's probably going to be, I thought about the under. I'm probably not going to take it because I think Josh Allen's too turnover prone. So is Baker Mayfield at this point. This feels like a 17-14 type of game. And is there going to be a bad bounce or a single sloppy play that turns it here? But you're right. This is one of those lines where I feel like everyone's looking at it and being like, well, they're due. And I thought we might see that on the Niners too on Monday night, but we didn't. We'll get to that later. But logically, you have to go Bills here.
Yeah. By the way, Kareem Hunt is back this week, since you mentioned the Bills trying to stop the run. So, but I don't know, how much are they going to play him? Like, do you even want to take Nick Chubb off the field? He's been probably the best part about the Browns season. But I like Googled this because I was surprised. I saw an article, like a bookmaker was like, huh, people keep betting back in the Browns. Yeah. It's like they're building new casinos off of all the money that people have wasted betting on the Browns this season.
I disagree that you got to go Buffalo here. If you watch Josh Allen week in and week out, he's terrible. Now, listen, I will say this. You got to be pretty nuts to put money on Freddie Kitchens at this point because he looks like he's completely out of his element. So this would be a hard stay away from me. Next game, and we'll see this game Thanksgiving night as well, but they play for the first time this season. On Sunday, the Falcons, no Matt Ryan, going to New Orleans off a bye week. Drew Brees back, big line here. Saints giving 12.5 points to the Falcons. The total is 51.5, Gary.
Might be Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say.
Oh, okay,
I thought he is going to be back.
Oh, my bad. Okay, my bad.
This one, I'm going Saints, and I'm probably going to best bet Saints because you got to best bet something. Are you just going to sit here and not bet this week? No, of course you're not.
Maybe you and I should have last week.
On one hand, it's the same type of I wish my heart was aligned with my head here. You kind of look at the Falcons. Falcons are 1-7-1 against the spread this year, and just kind of like, are they really going to be 1-8-1? I mean, that's difficult to do in this day and age. That I thought that line would push over 2 touchdowns, though, even with Ryan coming back. I'll just throw out, over the last 2 seasons, Falcons 2-12 against the spread when the total is 49.5 or greater, and the Saints are 11-1 against the spread coming off back-to-back or more covers, 2 or more consecutive covers. I'll go Saints. Saints did have some issues with those receivers last year, and they had to tweak some things in game. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I want to talk myself out of this as a best bet, but it's too tempting.
Yeah, I feel like you and I are in the same boat. I want to stay away, but I think I lean the Saints. So both teams are coming off a bye. The Saints, you know, had a week to get healthy. Breeze, remember, there was all the debate about if he would play the week before the bye week. They decided to play him. He played really well, then had 2 weeks off before this game. Alvin Kamara is going to be back. So, you know, this feels like a game. If the Falcons had any pride at all, they would show up and at least keep it within 13 points against their big rival. And I would think I would feel that way if they were at home. But on the road, this is one of those where you look at, and it's possible that the Saints just totally blow the doors off them. Like, I think looking at this game and the line and the total, the question is, are the Saints going to be in the 30s against that defense, or are they going to be in the 40s? And it's a big enough spread that I'm a little bit cautious, but I think if I had to make a pick here, I would lean the Saints.
I like the Saints as well. I think they're the best team in the NFL, and the way the Falcons have played it, I don't see how they go in there and hold New Orleans to under, like, you know, 38-4. I mean, the Falcon defense is terrible. I think this is a home game. Saints off a bye, Breeze one game under his belt after the injury. I think this is a big, big Saints win here. We go to New York / New Jersey for probably the biggest pick of the day. The Giants face the Jets. Technically a Jets home game, not that it matters. The Giants are giving 2.5 points. Total here, 43.5, and good luck if you bet or watch this, Mitch.
Yeah, Gary, this one's going to ruin your home road spread stats for next week, I assume. I don't. Maybe you have to filter it out. Yeah, so the Jets are just – take everything I said about the Browns and apply it to the Jets here, where everyone's just waiting all year for them to get right and finally win a game. And I feel like people are just dug in and they're just betting them every week, saying, okay, this is finally going to be the week that it happens, and it just hasn't. But at this point – they just, you know, they're awful. Everyone's miserable. You know, Jamal Adams is miserable. Sam Darnold looks miserable. Adam Gase is miserable. Le'Veon Bell might be hurt. They all, I feel like everyone on that team is just like sick of each other, ready to get into the offseason and not see everyone every day. The Giants, on the other hand, they've lost 5 in a row. Danny Dimes started 2-0 as a starter. They've lost 5 games since then. This is a gross game. I was trying to talk myself into betting the under or the over. I feel like I could see either. I don't know. I think if I have to pick a side, I would take Giants -2.5. But like you, Jimmy, don't bet this game. Don't watch this game. If anything, find a prop. See how many turnovers you can bet and take the over on that. And maybe that is the way you can get maximum enjoyment watching this game and betting on it. But this is a pretty gross one.
Gary?
I was going to say, so sort of building off Mitch's comment there with all the turnovers, I do kind of like the over here, over 43.5. Bad offenses, lots of turnovers, short fields, maybe some cheap touchdowns here in this one. The Jets are dead to me, and I apologize to anyone who best bet the Jets along with me those back-to-back weeks.
We have to burn the tapes from 2 weeks ago when you went on your long...
I've been on the Jets all season. Emphatically. I thought Gase was the guy. I thought Darnold was the quarterback. I thought they had the right marriage there. Look, maybe they turn around this offseason, but I will never say that aloud again. I will say I just want to highlight one play from last week's loss, not that we recap games, but the loss of Miami. That Sam Darnold, the safety, the botched snap safety where Sam Darnold, I'm not sure if he forgot that he's the quarterback on that offense. Like, he looked like he was surprised that he was like, oh, you were snapping to me?
Did a
like,
little what's... the Roger Dorn ole.
Yes.
A little. And then the offensive linemen were giving it to him. I think it was after that play. That was part of why, you know, why I said they all hate each other. The reaction after that one. Yeah.
It's something there. I guess I'd lean Giants because they're less of a tire fire here.
Yeah. I don't have any lean. I'm usually not like fire this coach, fire that coach. But after, you know, I've already bashed Nagy and Freddie Kitchens on this show. These are two coaches that have just no business having their jobs. Adam Gase and Pat Shurmur.
I don't know if I'd throw Shurmur in there.
There's the Giants have talent. Okay, like Saquon, Evan Ingram, and he looks like he's just completely out of his league every week. You don't think so?
I'm all right with Shurmur. I think they are in a rebuild. I think they're firmly in a rebuild. The Jets obviously are too. Just
right.
The one thing I'll say about the Jets, the last thing I'll ever say about the Jets, I try not to buy into the, you know, like the seeing ghosts thing.
Nonsense.
It's an overreaction to it. And
yeah.
I try not to buy into that narrative, but it's like they have put together a low light reel
that
is unrivaled. I mean, this is beyond what Mark Sanchez was there.
Right.
And it's all happened in like a 3 week span.
Here's an interesting 1 o'clock game. Who would have thought this would be such an interesting, I think intriguing is more of the word, not interesting, intriguing game. The Cardinals go into Tampa to face the Bucks. Tampa Bay, 4.5 point favorites, total here 52.5. Gary.
Yeah, and as you guys know, I'm a big body clock guy. teams are getting better with it, and the Cardinals have been, good on the road when they've had to come east. I believe it's I just had the stat in front of me and I took it down, so I'll get to it in a second, but I'll just wrap up my thoughts on it. But just saying, look, Jameis was excellent last week in Seattle. He had one stupid turnover, but do you trust week in and week out that you're going to get good Jameis and not sort of low-light real Jameis here? Cardinals have been a little more conservative offensively than I think a lot of people expected with Kingsbury coming in. and all that stuff. But I do have the stat up right now. The Cardinals have had to come east for an early game four times now. They are 3-1 against the spread.
Good nugget right there.
They hung in there in Baltimore. Got blown out in New Orleans. That was their one against the spread loss. But they wins at Cincinnati and the Giants, two bottom third teams there as well. But,
Mitch,
Gary, I was ready to talk body clock on this game. let me point something else out to you. Now, not the Cardinals are flying east for an early kick, but remember, the state of Arizona does not observe daylight saving time. So they did not fall back an hour, but they are now only 2 hours behind the East Coast. So that's very important to keep that in mind.
And Mitch was out in Arizona last week.
I did a lot of research for this game.
On the ground reporting.
Having been in Arizona during the daylight saving time switch, I will just remind you that they are only flying in 2 hours. So, you know, treat them as you would treat the Denver Broncos, not the Oakland Raiders. That is my important takeaway. I have been low on the Bucs all year. I think I've made that clear on this podcast every week. They've now lost four games in a row, even though I know they had that dramatic push last week. So they're 2-6. They had a crushing loss in Seattle, and I'm talking not, you know, on the spread, but the actual loss, and then a long flight home. The week before that, they had that really frustrating loss to the Titans. The week before that, they went all the way to London and watched Jameis throw five picks. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago if they had a bye in there somewhere. This is another team that you wonder when they're going to just pack it in. And everyone keeps talking about Jameis as, I'm still seeing people on Twitter talking like, maybe they're going to sign him for another year or two because you still have to see what you have in him. And I think we know what they have in Jameis at this point. He's going to have a few good games a year. He's going to have a few games with way too many turnovers and you know, interceptions and fumbles and all kinds of problems. The Cardinals, they showed some fight in the second half against San Francisco. I was impressed by that. And I just, between these two teams, I like their vibe a lot more. I think that Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, rookie coach, rookie QB, they have something to prove this year. And I think they're a team that benefits from a strong finish. If they finish with 6, 7, maybe 8 wins, even 6, 7 more likely. But I think that's something nice they can build on for next season. Whereas the Bucs, I think they're better off just collecting draft picks and, you know, rebooting. So I think the Cardinals have more talent. I think they have more to play for. I know they're flying east. They're the underdogs. I'm gonna take Arizona +4.5.
I love the over in this game. I know it's very high. 52.5 is a big number there, but I think this is an up and down the field kind of game here. Points are plenty. I like the over here. Last 1 o'clock game of the day, the Chiefs go into Tennessee to face the Titans. Chiefs 5.5-point favorites, total 48.5. I'll say one thing about the Chiefs: the defense is actually playing a little better, and if that continues, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there in the AFC. Mitch, Chiefs -5.5 in Tennessee, total 48.5. What do you got?
Yeah, defense, it's also getting healthier. That, I think, has been underrated all year. Everyone just wants to talk about the Chiefs offense all the time, which I totally get. It makes a lot of sense. And they've also had injuries to Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and everything. But they've had some key defensive guys who've missed time, and some of them are now practicing more and hopefully for them getting back into the games. I'm going to take the Chiefs here. This is the team. Last week, it was really weird because at the time we taped, we didn't know if Mahomes was going to play or not. This week, it seems like Mahomes is going to play. And I think if he's back, they're going to have some I wonder if they just were saving all the cool plays and they're ready to unleash Mahomes. We've barely seen Mahomes and Tyreek Hill on the field together at all this season because of the timing of their injuries. I've been impressed by Andy Reid's play calling with Matt Moore. They were a lot better than I thought they would be, even in that Green Bay game that I know they lost. But still, I just think that they are going to be ready for the return of Mahomes. I liked seeing Damian Williams back. He had that long touchdown run last week, and he got so many more snaps than LeSean McCoy. He was really good for them down the stretch last year and in the playoffs. And, you know, he started kind of slow. His numbers, his average yards per carry and everything, all those numbers were down. But if he can be productive like he was at the end of last season, and they're healthy on defense and healthy on offense, I still think they're a really dangerous team. And so I'm going to pick the Chiefs here -5.5.
Gary?
No, I wouldn't touch it. I want to see Mahomes back and see if he can move around before before doing anything on a Chiefs game. But I will say
no QB sneaks anymore.
Exactly,
that's out of the playbook.
Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator. Look, teams that take advantage of the Chiefs take advantage of their plotting, slow as molasses linebackers. Does Arthur Smith actually do something creative, put Deion Lewis in the lineup instead of Derrick Henry, and sort of run circles around those guys instead of running right at them? But that's all I got. I back off this one.
Yeah, I don't have a lean on this one either, which usually I'm always Chiefs, but it seems like a weird spot here. It's funny. Because I was knocking Adam Gase earlier, and I saw a tweet from someone, I don't remember who, so I apologize for that. But last night, someone was like, and now Ryan Tannehill is like flourishing without Adam Gase because he's been playing better than he did in Miami for Tennessee. And the piling, Tannehill has not been terrible for them. He's been better than Mariota. So it's a weird game for me. I would stay away from this one myself. That wraps up the 1 o'clock slate. We will now turn our attention to the 4 o'clock games, 3 games at 4 o'clock. First game at 4 o'clock is the Dolphins at the Colts. Colts 11-point favorites. Brissett banged up last week, so keep that in mind. Dolphins have covered, I think, their last 4 games despite being a completely inept team. Total here, 44. Colts 11-point favorites. And I forgot who's supposed to go first, Mitch or Gary. Does anyone want to take it?
I believe it's Gary.
Go ahead, Gary. You go for it. You take it.
I'll take it. Yeah, I was thinking this one might be in single digits with the spread with Brian Hoyer likely to start for the Colts here. I will say Colts have been a little bit sluggish at home. The offense hasn't been great. They got beat by the Raiders. They had to pull one out against the Broncos there. I'd still lean Colts here. I do still think the Dolphins are an absolute abomination despite winning a game last week somehow, some way. But, you can't be terribly confident in the Colts here. I will say I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick can move the ball against a Colts defense that is kind of secretly very good.
Mitch?
Adam Vinatieri, a problem, by the way. That's interesting. See, these lines, when it's 11 instead of 10, you wonder if like a missed extra point is going to be the difference there.
There were a slew of missed extra points last week.
Yeah. I want to give props to Jacoby Brissett, who I have to admit has been better this season than I expected. And he is good enough that the drop-off from him to his backup has me worried about the spread here. I know Hoyer looked pretty good last week. Those of us who were forced to start Zach Pascal in fantasy reaped the benefits. I don't know. I'm sorry if it's uncool to talk about fantasy here on the Gambling Podcast. We're going to cross over the worlds a little bit. QB wins, we know, are often a stupid way to judge a player, but sometimes they can be helpful. Hoyer didn't start in 2018. He was 0-6 in 2017. He was 1-4 in 2016. So again, quality of the team matters. None of those were games with the Colts, but he is 1-10 as a starter in the last 3 years. Now you're asking him to cover an 11-point spread without T.Y. Hilton. I'm waiting for the injury news a little bit to see if Brissett's going to play or if it is going to be Hoyer. But I'm not going to make this bet until Sunday if I make it. But I think I'm leaning Dolphins covering plus 11.
All right. I'm intrigued by the Dolphins covering all these games, but I still would not put my money on them. So this will probably be a game I skip, especially with 2 better games at 4 o'clock. I'll lock in on those. So this would be a no play for me. One of those better games, and it's the best game. This game got moved from 1 o'clock to 4:25 to take the main spot there. It'll be the Panthers bounce back after getting annihilated in San Francisco. They bounce back with a win last week against the Titans at home. They go into Green Bay coming off that loss in San Diego. The Packers are 5.5-point favorites against the Panthers. The total here is 48. Mitch.
Yeah, so 4:25 kick at Green Bay. Could be cold. We're waiting for the first good snow game of the year now that we're in November. I have not checked the weather. We probably should check the weather before this podcast, but you wonder if it's going to snow in Green Bay. The Packers shared a video on Twitter of snow at Lambeau Field this week, which just has me very excited for, the playoffs are coming. These are two teams that I really like. I mean, there are like 5 or 6 teams that I really like in the NFC, and I want to pick them all every week. We had to do our midseason picks at the MMQB, and I just picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not confident in that at all because there are like 12 teams that could easily do that. But I do really like them. I also like the Panthers, who've kind of been my sleeper team for most of the season. They have been all year, and they're 5-3. I do think the Packers should bounce back after they really had a tough game in L.A., but 5.5 just feels like a lot. This, to me, feels like the line should be 3 or 3.5. So I'm like, talking myself into both teams. This is not going to be a best bet, but I think I just want to see a close game here, and I think with the spread that high, I'll take the points and go Panthers plus 5.5.
Gary?
Yeah, I lean Panthers here, though. I'm much more intrigued by the total. I think 48 is too high for these teams. I don't buy the Packers' offense in full yet. They had a lot of trouble blocking last week, and granted, the Panthers don't have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram in their lineup, but if that offensive line is going to struggle at all, they're just not going to put up many points. On top of that, they're not a team, when they struggle offensively, they punt a lot. Aaron Rodgers does not throw interceptions. That's his thing. He is incredibly conservative when it comes to putting the ball in danger. And we know the Panthers, obviously, Kyle Allen isn't asked to do a whole lot. So I think this is one where you get a lot of punts, you get a lot of field goals. So I will take the under here, and for sides, I will just lean Panthers because I do think it's going to be low scoring, and 5.5 is a lot of points for a low scoring game.
Big disagree with my friend Garrett Gramling. I love the over here.
Yeah.
I think after that offensive stink fest that the Packers put up last week, they get it back on track. Panthers are. Kyle Allen likes to chuck it around. I think you might see a pick six here. I think you might see something on the defense, but McCaffrey's unstoppable. The Panthers move the ball fairly easily. They just had that one stinker in San Francisco. I don't think the Packer defense is as good as people think. I know they've played well, but I see points in this one. And I think you're going to see a big effort from the Packers and Aaron Rodgers on offenses. So I like the over there. Last 4 o'clock game, 4:25. This was supposed to be a big one, and then the Roethlisberger injury sort of made it not as appealing. The Rams go across the country and into Pittsburgh. Rams coming off a bye, 4-point favorites in Pittsburgh. The total is 44.5, Gary.
I'll lean Rams pretty heavily here. I just think the Steelers stink offensively, and you can't just bank on 96-yard pick sixes every week to keep you in games. I will say, though, and the reason I probably won't best bet the Rams is Rams can't block anyone. Steelers have 3 guys who are difficult to block up front. Are they going to be ruined the way they were ruined that, when they couldn't move the ball at all against the 49ers earlier this season? I do want to throw out real quick, though. I was this one doesn't sound like a mind-blowing stat, but it blew my mind. Rams are 6-2 against the spread this year.
Yeah.
It feels like they've underachieved so much.
Well, they had that one loss in against the Niners, I think, scared everyone off of the Rams.
Yep. Yeah. I was surprised. I was looking at the against the spread standings, and they and the Saints are tied for first at 6-2, even though the Rams are 5-3, and I think we all would consider them a relative underachiever so far this year.
Well, and I had them against the Bengals 2 weeks ago when they were in London, and that was a wild cover.
Yes.
Minus 14, they were up 17, and Bengals scored a touchdown the last play of the game that had to get reviewed and overturned. So, maybe you put a little asterisk there.
That was the game that launched your red zone rant, right, Jimmy? That was the game that you were mad about.
Don't get me started on the red zone, which last week decided to show me about 80,000 plays from the Jet-Dolphin game.
But that was that game in London with the review at the end was what set
you off. No, that didn't set me off because I used an illegal stream and I saw the whole thing. Mm. It was the week that really set me off was when the Dolphins played the Redskins and they kept cutting to that game. That was the week that set me off. Go ahead, man.
All right, well, we can keep talking about red zone because this is a game that I'm not really interested in talking about. I think I'm just done with the Steelers. I am wrong about them every single week. I liked them before the season. I totally overreacted to their awful start, but I'm now willing to recognize how wrong I've been. The Rams, I don't think the Rams are that great. I think they're going to miss the playoffs in the NFC, but now they beat 2 bad teams by double digits, and suddenly they're 5-3. This is, Gary was listening to what you said about the previous game, where it's just going to be a low-scoring game and within a field goal, and this is in Pittsburgh, where a lot of times it's tough to kick field goals. We've seen a lot of teams miss in that one end zone there, so this is one I'm going to just see a home team getting 4, and I think I lean that way, but I'm not actually going to bet it. I can't pick any more Steelers games. If you force me to pick one, I'm going to lean toward them, but I'm totally off this.
I will say, sorry to interrupt, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
I will just say, Steelers had no right no right covering that. No right winning, no right covering. That's a game they should have lost by, even with Brian Hoyer in there.
I was so confident in both of us best bet.
I mean, they, when you get a game where the other kicker leaves 4 points on the board, you have a 96-yard pick six, which is the biggest turnover, right, turnaround you can have. And they also got that safety kickoff. The Colts fumbled that, which was, I mean, that's a turnover plus like a 60-yard field position, yeah, turnaround. Yeah. Those are huge game-changing plays. To have all of them in one is just insane.
Yep.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, MVP, when the Steelers run the table and go.
the pick six was, I mean, they were going in for the touchdown there, and they bring it back the other way. That was a huge swing. And then obviously I don't understand how Adam Vinatieri still has a job. It makes no sense.
I said
to me
this in August.
Yeah, it makes
first.
No sense.
I have the receipts.
All right, that wraps up the day slate. We're going to go to the two primetime games right now. On Sunday night, NBC, the Vikings visit the Cowboys, coming off that win against the Giants on Monday night. So short week for the Dallas Cowboys. Vikings coming off a loss in Kansas City. Cowboys 3-point favorites, total 47.5, Gary.
Yeah, it's a good one. I really don't have a lean here. I guess I lean Vikings a little bit. I'll be curious to see what Dak does against an elite defense here. He wasn't great in New Orleans. He wasn't great at home against the Packers. So for that reason, I'll lean Dallas, I'll lean Minnesota. But obviously, I don't know how great anyone feels about Kirk Cousins week in and week out, going on the road in a tough environment here. But that's all I got. This is just a good game.
Yeah.
Tough call here,
Mitch.
Yeah, it's cliche. I bring it up every week. The cliche is you pick the Vikings in their 1 o'clock games and don't pick the Vikings in any of their important games or their primetime games. Last week was a 1 o'clock game, Eastern time, against the Chiefs, but it felt like a big spot, and they were, had a big stage against the Chiefs. Everyone wants to watch them, and then they blew a game against Matt Moore. The Cowboys, they just won that primetime game at home against Philly, and this just feels like another home primetime game that we're going to see them win. Did see just some late breaking news right before we taped that Amari Cooper had an MRI today, and so all of a sudden there are concerns about if he can play. That would be a big loss for Dallas.
Yeah.
But, I don't have a ton of analysis on this one. Like you said, Gary, I think it could be a good game, but I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I think they're going to win this one.
I'm sort of in this. It's weird. We're in a total agreement here. I don't have a ton to say on this game. I don't have a lean on the side or the total. I think it's a good game. I'll be ready to go. I'll watch it all, and maybe I'll find a prop to bet. Nothing here would surprise me. Cowboys, Vikings win, over, under, nothing would surprise me.
The problem is it's each quarterback. He can be elite. He can be a D-plus kind of quarterback.
Yep. And the week wraps up with a very good game. I think it's the best Monday night game of the season so far. The Seahawks go into San Francisco to face the last unbeaten in the NFL, the 49ers. The Niners, 6-point favorites. Big number here, for teams that are fairly evenly matched. Niners -6, total 46.5. Mitch.
The Niners, the last unbeaten team in the league, number one in everyone's power rankings. I will say, in the MMQB staff picks this week, I did pick the Seahawks to win this game outright. But in my defense, there's a little bit of game theory there because we're all trying to catch Kalen, who's in the lead. But I just wanted to point that out in case anyone is looking for inconsistencies in my picking and betting across Sports Illustrated's many platforms, that I am on record picking Seattle, but I'm not confident in it. Sometimes you got to just take a shot. But I do like Seattle a lot. They feel like a team that plays up to competition and down to competition. And, I think against a good team, I think they're going to be in it. The Niners defense, I talked about the Cardinals earlier in the show. I feel like the Niners defense, that was a little concerning what they did in the second half last week, letting Arizona back in. Now Kwon Alexander is out. George Kittle's a little bit banged up. It just feels like Seattle finds a new way to beat you every week. Will Disley was incredible early in the season, and then Tyler Lockett's been unreal. DK Metcalf has been great as a rookie. Jacob Hollister's catching touchdowns. I really like that offense, and it feels like there are 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks making their case every week to be MVP of the league. Last week, it was Lamar Jackson's turn in primetime. This week, you wonder if it's going to be Russell Wilson's chance. I'm a little bit scared to pick against San Francisco because I picked Carolina to cover 2 weeks ago, and then they got crushed. I think 51-13 was the final score of that game. But 6 feels a little high, and I do like Seattle, and so I'm going to take them +6.
Gary?
I know. I was all ready for this line to be like 3.5, mm-hmm. and 6 ends up just being too much. I will point out, last year, the 49ers beat the Seahawks at home with Nick Mullins in the lineup. This is when the 49ers are playing on the string. Seahawks are playing for a playoff spot here.
That was an overtime game, I think.
It was an overtime game. It was also a game where there was only one turnover, and it was the 49ers turning it over. So Robert Saleh, obviously, he was a longtime Pete Carroll disciple. He's the 49ers defensive coordinator now, guy who's going to be head coach next year. He obviously knows Russell Wilson well. I think Russell Wilson is playing on a different level than he has in the past. But, you know, I was ready to see this line at like 3.5 and be all over the 49ers. I think with it being 6 and the way the Seahawks can play from behind and sort of get that backdoor cover if they need to, I think I'd lean Seattle here.
I like the over in this one. I know the Niner defense has been very good this year, but the Seahawks are no longer a defensive team. The Seahawks are an offensive team. Their games seem to be high scoring every week, and I like the over in this one. And I like a lot of overs this week, which you may hear about in just a moment when we wrap it all up with our best bets.
Good
of the
tease,
week.
Jimmy. Good
yes,
tease.
Yes, thank you very much. So, Gary and Mitchie will try to get back on track after big stinkers. I'll try to keep it rolling. And here we go. Week 10 best bets. Mitch, get it started.
I'm
for
going
us.
First. All right, yeah. Here we go. I've got a theme to my picks. Let's see if you can figure this out and see where it's going. I like the Lions +2.5 in Chicago, the Bills +2.5 in Cleveland, the Cardinals +4.5 in Tampa, and the Seahawks +6 in San Francisco. I am on 4 road underdogs, and I am fired up about it. I feel very confident in my picks this week. Feeling good. There you go.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
I'm excited.
All right. Gary?
I got 3, and I don't like any of them. But I will go with the Saints. My head says Saints -12.5 against the Falcons. I will go under 48 on that Panthers-Packers game. I think Jimmy and I are going head-to-head again after he beat me on Lions-Raiders last week. And I will, because I just feel like I'm going to be missing out if I don't take the Ravens here. I'll take Ravens -10 on the road in Cincinnati because I feel like I'm just going to be kicking myself when they win that game by 17.
Thought about that one, but it didn't go with my theme, so I had to lay off.
I have 5. I like the Lions +2.5 in Chicago against the Bears. I like the over 52.5 Arizona-Tampa Bay. I am going to give you the over 48 Carolina-Green Bay. As Gary said, we go head-to-head, so that'll be double the fun. I like the Ravens -10. And the last one is the over 46.5 in the Seattle-San Francisco Monday night game. So good luck to everyone with their best bets. And that wraps up week 10 on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. For Gary Gambling, Mitch Golditch, I'm Jimmy Traina. We will see you next week right here on SI.com. Take care.